Well, good morning. Welcome to the Hill. It's good to have all of you here. I want to ask you to open God's Word this morning, if you will. And we're going to be looking at Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'm going to read, I said in your Life Point outline, if you get that out already, we're going to read 2 through 8. I'm going to advance it on either end, and we'll go 1 through 9 this morning. Let me just do that. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation, so it might be just a little bit different, but I really like the way that it says it this morning. I'm going to be giving you the second message in this series on the subject of blessed or stressed. And I think the song that we just heard is so tremendous with regards to that, because it just teaches us the truth that we have a creator God who delights in blessing his people. God has a love for us that goes all the way to the beginning of eternity. If there is such a thing, God has had a love set on us for his own reason, his own purpose. And it's just such a blessing when you read in the Word that God has known us, he's thought about us. And when we came into existence, it wasn't a happenstance, it was a plan. All of us are a plan. That's the reason that we're here. And so God has a purpose and a plan for us. And we're going to be reading that this morning. I want to talk about blessed or anxious in your life as we get into to 2016. As we get ready to do that, while you're finding Deuteronomy 28 in your Bibles, let me just give you a couple of little asides here. Number one is that next Sunday night, we're going to have a great opportunity to just really celebrate as a church family. 43 years ago, when God planted Catherine and I here, and we just kind of had this wedding between me and this church, and we just became one. God just began working in my heart just this vision of that he had a plan and a purpose for the Hill. We've been working that out. And I've seen some marvelous things take place in this church. You are part of that. As God has grown this congregation and enlarged the family, as we've just gotten more and more into his word and honored him. And one of the things that's been a blessing to me is that God has changed us from being a church that not only just gives to missions, but a church that does mission. And we have matured to that point, and I'm excited about that. I'm blessed to see us give to missions in a marvelous way. We've been a leader in our association in giving to the Lottie Moon Foreign Missions for the last several years, and I commend you for that, being so faithful. I haven't got the final tally, but we're right at $51,400, and I just want to say thank you for that. Well, I'll let you know the moment we hit it, some of you are still giving. But we've reached a new point, and that is now that we are having some of our own go on the mission field. And Chris and Miranda Rudd, who are here this morning, the guys are over here. Guys, stand up for just a moment, would you? This is Chris and Miranda. They're part of our church family here on the Hill. Fine young couple. He's just become a master electrician. And they're setting that aside. And they're going to be going to Bolivia and are going to be just checking out some things down there for about 3 or 4 months. I'm planning to come back in June and seeing what kind of doors God's opened, because, bless them. And so next Sunday night at 6:30 here in our mall area, we're going to have just a kind of a reception time, and I want to invite you to come. We want to just love on them. There's going to be some special things that we're going to be doing and just kind of sending them off and saying, God bless you, and we're praying for you, and we're behind you and supporting you. And so I hope that you'll come and be a part of that. Also, in that same regard, two ladies from our praise team in the next two services, our contemporary service, Teresa and Micah Weir, and then Martha Bailey. Martha was singing up here this morning. She had the cute little cap on, and she looks so cute. Well, Martha and Teresa and Micah just have a real love for the Lord, and they're leaving this next week, and they are going to Kyiv, Ukraine. They'll return back here February the 4th, and they're going to be working with the Michael Gott Evangelistic Association, doing English as a second language classes for 2 weeks there. and working along with Michael Gott, who will in the evening be doing evangelism. And just so many people are coming to faith in the Lord. I'm totally excited about Martha and Micah and Teresa going. And this is not the first team that we've had to do this, but it's just one of the ways that we do missions here on the Hill, and it just blesses my heart. So can you just say bless you to those girls as well? Yeah. All right, I want us to look this morning at blessed or anxious, and this is part two. And so it's going to be a little bit different when we get into our text. I'm going to start off with point number four. And you're going to look and say, well, that's weird. But it's because I gave you the first three in the first message, okay? So if you didn't get that, you can get the copy of that and then kind of pick up with that. Deuteronomy 28:1. God says, if you fully obey the Lord your God by keeping all the commands I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will exalt you above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. You'll be blessed in your towns and in the country. You'll be blessed with many children and productive fields. You'll be blessed with fertile herds and flocks. You'll be blessed with baskets overflowing with fruit and with kneading bowls filled with bread. You'll be blessed wherever you go, both coming in and going out. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction, but they will scatter from you in seven. The Lord will bless everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you if you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he solemnly has promised to do. We're talking about building our future. And every January, for those of you who may be new to the Hill, one of the things that we do is we take this time at the beginning to focus on spiritual growth. So every January we fast. We talk about fasting. And many of you get involved in that. And fasting isn't easy. Can I get an amen? Huh? Let's just be honest, it isn't easy. And that's why it is so good for you, because it's not easy. And if we're not careful, the only thing we do in our lives is what's easy. And I want you to notice the truth in your outline. The quality of our future depends on our ability to reorder our lives. How is it that some people just keep going and going and going in their spiritual lives and they don't waver? They don't drift off. They don't drop out of worship. They keep their lives in alignment with the Lord, and God's blessings just continue to come on their life. It is because they have a trait that so many of God's kids don't have. They have the ability to reorder their lives. That's why every January on the Hill, through fasting, what are we doing? We are addressing the areas of our lives, I do it, you do it, where we overindulge, because we do. We overindulge and we get sloppy and we get into patterns and habits that don't honor God. They're not good for our bodies, and they're certainly not good for our spiritual lives. They're not blessing our walk with the Lord. So for 21 days, we deny our flesh. The thing that I've told you again and again and again in Scripture is whenever something wearies the flesh, when it hurts in the flesh, it breaks the hold of the flesh and the spirit is able to breathe. That's the reason why God talks about disciplining children. Why does God want a parent to inflict pain on their little one? Because when you inflict pain, when that is brought at the proper time, it breaks the hold of the flesh. And often you'll see a child melt and you'll see that sweetness come back into them. Why? Because you broke the power of the flesh in their life. And God does that in my life and he does it in yours. And it allows our spirits to breathe. And so during these 21 days, we begin to confess our sins. We turn from wicked ways that have slowly crept into our lives. And what are we doing? What am I doing when I fast? What am I doing? What am I saying to heaven? I'll tell you what I'm saying. When I turn away from the things that I enjoy, and I've got a lot of things I enjoy with regards to eating. I love to eat. I love to drink pleasant things. I enjoy that. I'm a green. It goes with the territory. But when I deny myself, I'm saying, Father, I'm letting you know, I'm confessing in a tangible way that the most important thing in my life is you. And I want to turn away from these things because I need you. As I'm looking to this next year, there's so much I don't know about what's coming. And I want you in my life. And God, I am asking for your blessing. I never grow weary of being blessed by the Lord. How about you? I live by his blessing, by God being with me as I come in and as I go out. Here's my prayer for you. Let me just restate it. This is my prayer for you. And I just want you to know that for this next 10 years, I'm thinking in terms of a decade. I don't know how long God is going to give us on this earth before he calls us home and the last time on earth begins. I don't know. But I know this. In the next 10 years, I'm praying will be some of the best that we have had in this fellowship. It'll be some of the best years that you've ever had in your own personal life. I want you, and I want us to be more blessed and less anxious. I want to see God's blessing on you and on your home as you come in and as you go out, that he will put his blessing on your finances. God will bless you in your health. God will bless you in your relationships. He'll bless your family that's in your house or the family around you if your kids are out and that are grown. Let me just say this. What is a blessing? When we talk about a blessing, what am I talking about? Well, the word actually means good word. And so it's the idea that being blessed by God means that God speaks a good word on my life. He speaks a good word on me. Taking what you naturally have, and that's what being blessed means, God takes what I naturally have and he blesses it so that it meets my need. In other words, God just expands it and makes it travel the distance that it needs to. We're in a time of layoffs. We're in a time of up and down stock markets, uncertainty about our national future, you know, not knowing who's going to be in the White House next. We've got wild weather, shaky national security. Has there ever been a time recently when we have needed God's hand upon us any more than right now? Can you say amen to that? We just need him. Let me give you an insight in your outline if you look there. God's blessing is not based on the resources available, but on his power and your trust and obedience to what he tells you to do. There are so many examples of that in the Word. You think about when Jesus was out on the countryside and he was preaching and everybody got hungry. The disciples said, people are starting to really get weary. We need to send them into the towns and so they can get something. Jesus said, you feed them. You do it. So Jesus said, I want you to do that. And so I know they got around, and one of the guys said, well, there's nothing here, Lord, except this one little guy, this young guy, has got 5 loaves and 2 fish, but what are there among so many? Jesus said, are you willing to give that to me? And that young lad gave Jesus what he had. And what I want you to see is when you obey him, when you do what he asks you to do, God bless it. And so God blessed what that little guy had, and he stretched it and made it take care of the needs of the hour. And I want you to look in your outline at the insight there. God wants to bless your life if you and I qualify. And that means that we do what he asks us to do when he asks us to do it. That we obey him and realize that me being blessed is not dependent upon how much I have. Remember I said that last week. That God is teaching us it is not about how much you have. It is about whether or not what you have is blessed by him. If what you have is blessed by him, it will meet your need. Does that make sense? It'll meet your need. God will stretch it to meet your need. And our text is so clear that God delights in doing that. And also, he wants to do it openly. God wants you to walk with him so that he can bless your life and other people in the world be able to see this is somebody who follows God. This is somebody who loves the Lord. I see it by what they say, by the way they live their life, by their consistency and their involvement in that fellowship, what they call on the hill over there. And there's some kind of connection there. And that God says, I want to bless you, and I want to bless you in a way that the world will be able to see that it's because of your connection with me. Listen to Ezekiel chapter 34. I will cause my people and their homes. See, God not only wants to bless me, he wants to bless my home around my holy hill to be a blessing. Not receive, but be a blessing. And I will send showers of blessing, not a mist, but a downpour. I want to send a shower of blessing, which will come just when they need it. And there's no better time that we need that than right now. And I want you to look at the next truth in your outline. An obsession with the recession will cloud your vision of God's provision. And I've said it, I told you last week, it is not about what's taking place in our city. It is not about people being laid off. It is not about how you may think that things look. It is about us being obedient to Him. Has God planted you here? If God has planted you here, if you're here because this is where God wants you to be, you're doing what God wants you to do at that time, then God says, I want you to know my desire is to bless you. And he said, the qualification for being blessed is that you do what I tell you to do when I tell you to do it. And you also do some other things that are important to me. In the previous message, I shared some of those things with you. I'm just kind of bringing you up to speed, and then we'll give you new stuff. All right, so here it is. What are the things that God has told us already that he wants us to do? Number one, he wants us to admit that we don't deserve being blessed. And that's all about God. It doesn't bless me when I'm cocky. God's not going to bless you when you feel like it's owed to you, when you walk around with some kind of attitude that, you know, I'm serving God, I'm doing this, whatever, and I ought to have it coming to me. God says, I hate pride, but I give grace to the humble. That you go through life realizing, I'm really not worthy to be blessed. There's so much in my life that's not right, but God, I want to thank you that you're a God who blesses those who don't even deserve it. And I know whatever you give me, Father, is a gift from you. We see ourselves and admit that we don't really deserve it. The second thing is, we believe that God delights in blessing his people. One of the things I see in Scripture is, you remember the story about Jesus and the 10 lepers who came to him, and they wanted to be healed. And Jesus, when they told him what they wanted, Jesus said this. He said, according to your faith, be it done unto you. Now, what did he just say? He said, guys, you get what you believe you're going to get from me. What is it that you believe I'm willing to do? Do you believe I'm willing to do? You get to determine how much I bless you in your life. And so it's not about what you feel. It's about what you know that the Word has said. And I want to free you from that. God has said in the Word, he is a God who wants to bless his people as we are doing his will. Has nothing to do with what you feel. Has to do with what God has said in the Word. This is what he said. And you believe that God delights in blessing you. God said that's it. That's primary. Number three is obey what God tells you to do. When he told the lepers to go to the priest and show themselves, they went doing what he wanted them to do. And as they went, they were healed. God blessed them. And so God says, when you come before me with humility, realizing that it is a gift from him, when you believe that I'm a God who delights in blessing, and when you do what I tell you to do, I will be with you. And he gives a couple of more things. That we meet with him daily. Proverbs 8:34, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. If I don't go to God every day, if I don't wait before him, seeking him above everything else, then God's blessings are not going to fall on me the way I want to. God says, I want you to come to me realizing I am the source of everything. And so we worship him. We worship him. And that's when the blessings begin to fall. And then the last thing is that we study and obey the word. And this is what we, you know, that's the reason why we talk about it's so important you being part of a life group. Not only did you be part of worship, be part of a life group. Get into the Word of God. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, God's Word. He meditates in it day and night. So those are the outlines of a life that is blessed by the Lord. Now let me give you number four this morning. Number four is this. God's blessings fall on tithers. God's blessings fall on tithers. Now, this is one of the things that we learn as a fellowship here at Harmony Hill. And that is that God blesses us, the blessings fall, when we give a tithe back to him. For if you are new to this, a tithe simply means 10%. That's what a tithe is.
And what God is wanting is he is wanting the first. What everything you notice in Scripture is, God wants the first of everything. He doesn't want second. He doesn't want third. He wants the first. And so when I give him a tithe, it's not 10% if I have enough left over. It's I give him 10% at the beginning. If I make $100, I give God 10. Why? Because if I'm going to be blessed, being blessed has nothing to do with how much I have. Being blessed simply means God takes what I have and he makes it work. And that's what I want. Because there are going to be times, even when I'm following him, I may come up short. There may be times when I have financial challenges. I have health challenges or whatever. If God's blessing is on me, God's blessing is he makes it stretch. He makes it work. That's what God does. And that's what I'm talking about us having his blessing on our life. Look the truth in your outline. Tithing blesses not because of the amount, but what the amount means. And what it means is when you give a tithe, it means, Lord, I worship you as being the source of everything. I am bringing the first 10% to you. It's like you get on your knees. I'm giving you the first 10%. Why? Because you are the one that gave me the 100. If I didn't have your blessing, I could be laid low. I could be laid up and not able to work. There's so many things that can happen in your life. And giving that first 10% says, God, I worship you as the source of the 100% I've got. I believe what you said. I believe that you are a blesser. You are the one who is able to take my life and to make it work. And God, I want your blessing. Father, I live to be under your hand of blessing. Listen to this promise, if you've never heard this before. Malachi 3, verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Now, storehouse in Bible times was the place in the temple where everything that the people brought, all of their tithes, they were stored there. And all the things that they brought, a tithe of everything that they had, was kept there. And that is what kept the worship of the Lord going. That's the purpose of the tithe. The purpose of the tithe is to keep God's work going. So how much does it take in a congregation this size? What does it take for us to be able to do everything that God wants us to do? Well, primarily it takes everybody coming tithing. If God planted you here, that this is where God wants you to be, then that means your tithe is part of what God wants to do here. And your tithe being put in enables us to accomplish what God wants. So that means you put your tithe in the place where you worship. You don't give it to United Way. You don't give it to some other good thing. That's all well and good. You bring your tithe to where you worship. That keeps this going. And then you give your offering to other things. But the tithe comes to God's house. And he says, when you do that, test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven, pour out so much blessing, you won't have room to receive it. Who's ready for that? Sign me up. I'm already signed up. I want that. That's what I want for me. That's what I want for you. And I want you to notice, God says, test me in this. Listen, if you want to prove the existence of God, tithe. You want to know if there's a God in heaven? Tithe. See what happens. I mean, he said it. He said, prove me. See if I will not throw open the windows, the floodgates of heaven and pour so much blessing you won't have room to receive it. Here's the insight in your outline. It takes more faith to be an atheist than to believe in God. I'm serious. It takes a huge amount of faith to believe that something, this incredible universe, happened from nothing. They're just called spontaneous generation. That was disproved years and years and decades ago. And here's the truth. Nothing does not create something. That's absolutely ridiculous. That nothing creates something. It never has. It never will. If you've got a design, you've got a designer. If you've got a creation, you've got a creator. Where if there is order, it's because somebody ordered it. It's not like it just happened. It doesn't just happen on its own. Never has, never will. And God never tells us to prove him through various avenues of philosophy. I'm going to tell you something. There are some philosophers. I very much appreciate their ability to be Christian philosophers and apologeticists, men like Ravi Zacharias and Lee Strobel and Norm Geisler. These guys are great. They do a tremendous thing for the Lord. But how do you prove the existence of God? Bring you all your tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you won't have room enough to receive it. Catherine and I have tithed our income for 43 years, ever since we've been married. We've had some challenging times in those years. There have been demands that were made on our finances, the boys getting sick or this and that happening. And God has proven himself faithful that as we have put him first in our giving, that we tithe off the top and give that to him. And because we've done that, we have seen that God somehow or another in every situation has met every one of our needs. And his blessing has fallen on our home. Tithing is not about not having a need. And I want you to understand that. It doesn't mean you're going to all of a sudden be in la-la land, you know, and everything's just going to fall hand over fist. It's not talking about that. I'm not saying that you're not going to have challenging life situations, financially or whatever. Tithing is about experiencing, in all the events of normal living, it is about experiencing the supplying supernatural work of heaven in your behalf. That because you are giving to him, your needs, God said, you give me the first 10, I will take care of you. I will take care of you. I will become personally responsible for you. I will bless that your money will stretch. I will make ends meet, or I'll make the needs evaporate. So some of you are saying, what can I do? Here's what I want you to do. If you are not a tither at present, I want you during the service, I want you to reach out and get one of those Connect cards. And I want you just to write on there a note to me. I want you to drop it. You drop it in the missions box back here because you've already taken up the offering in this service. And just say, Pastor, I'm going to begin tithing. I want to see God work in my life. And I'm taking a step of faith. I'm going to begin tithing now. And I want you to write that down. If you want to sign your name, that's fine. If you don't, that's all right with me. I'm going to look at these, and I want you to do that. I want you to stick it in that missions box before you leave this morning. Now look at number five. God will bless me if I help others. Psalm 41, 1 and 2 from the Living Bible says, God blesses those who are kind to the poor and the helpless. He helps them out of their own troubles. He protects them and keeps them alive. He publicly honors them and destroys the power of their enemies. Wow, here's the insight in your outline. God looks to see if I am a dam or a river. You know, God talks a lot about the poor. And the Bible says that he loves the poor. And so when God finds somebody who helps the poor and the helpless, that's the person, Scripture says, that God pours his blessing on. Proverbs 22, verse 9. A generous man will himself be blessed. Why? Because he shares his food with the poor. When you give to the cause of the poor, you get blessed. That's a promise of God. So, here's what I want us to do. As you're leaving here this morning, I got it set up through our missions pastor, Pastor Ben. At each of these doors, there's a box there, and there are some plastic bags. Every month here from the Hill, over at our Life Outreach Center at the food pantry, we give out food to over 350 families. I think there's around 360, 365 families. And I want you to have a greater part in that. That's being done just simply through the offerings of our church. But I'm going to give you an opportunity to do some hands-on stuff. Catherine and I are going to do this. And what I want to ask you to do, for the next 6 weeks, this will take us almost up to right into the month of March as we get ready for Easter. Each Sunday, I want you to, as you're leaving, get one of these plastic bags, take it with you, and then you put in there, you fill it with non-perishable things that you want to give away. And then you bring that back next Sunday, and then you pick up another bag. And we're going to do that for 6 weeks. All those bags are going to be kept over our Life Outreach Center. As we give out what we normally give out to people, we're going to get another group of people to hand each family a bag and say, we just want you to know this is coming from a family at the Church on the Hill, and they just want to say, we care about you, and we love you, and we're praying for your needs to be met. Now, I want to tell you something. For them to know this is something personal from a family in that church, and they really care about me. They care about me. And so I want to ask you to do that. And I just believe that will let so many people know that this is a church that really does care. And you pick up one of those bags as you leave here this morning, and I hope you'll get involved and be a part of that with us. And then lastly, God blesses those who share the gospel. God says if you share your faith, if you invite people to come to worship with you, give out a CD. And what do we give? We give people a message from the Word. You know, things that are taught here from the pulpit. You give them the Word. Bring them to a service on the hill. God says he will bless your life. How do I know? Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. I pray you will be active in sharing your faith so that you will fully understand every blessing that we have in Christ. Here's the thing. If I had the cure for AIDS, if I had the cure for cancer, and I didn't share it, would that not be criminal? Because in fact, there would be people who died that I really caused their death because I could have stopped it. I could have cured that disease because I had the cure, but I didn't give it to them. And so in effect, I killed them. I caused their death. And here's what the Bible says. The Bible says you have something more valuable. You have the knowledge of sharing with people how they can have their past forgiven. Be forgiven of all the mess that's in their life. You've got the insight how they can get a purpose for living, a reason to get up every day, and that they can have a home in heaven in the future. And we get to share that with people. So here's a question. Is anyone going to be in heaven because of you? I just want you to think about that. And one of the easiest things you can do is to bring somebody to come to worship. This series that we're in right now, in fact, all the way, the things we're going to be saying all the way through Easter, is a great time to bring somebody, a friend of yours who is unchurched, to bring them with you to worship. And I want to challenge you to introduce some of your unchurched friends to the hill and just bring them during this special season. Specifically, I want to ask you to begin right now preparing for Easter. Here's what's on my heart. I want us to do something on the hill we have never done before. I want us to strive for something. We've got 3 services on Sunday morning, and this is going to really be a challenge, but I believe you're up to it. I want us to pray and to work and to invite. And our goal for Easter is 2,000 in worship on the hill. We can do that. Because what you're going to do is be a huge group of people. They're going to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.